Turning our Bibles to Psalm 95. Heavenly Father, we just are so thankful. We thank you, Lord, that as your children, you instruct us, you discipline us, you chastise us. Lord, you do this because you love us and you want what's best for us. As we that have children have disciplined our own children because we want them to be better people. We don't want them to be childish. We want them to grow up to be mature adults. And you want us to be mature believers. You want us to be steadfast in our belief in you, in what the Word says, and how to get information, how to get comfort, how to get rebuke if necessary. Lord, it's by your Word that we are instructed. Lord, you said that you would send your Spirit that would lead us into all truth. So, Father, I pray that as we open up your Word, as we look into the things of your Word, that you would instruct us. And, Lord, that we would be obedient, that we would have open hearts to hear. And, Lord, that we wouldn't just be hearers, but we would be doers, that we would desire to please you by keeping your commandments. So, Lord, have your way with us tonight. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 91, it's kind of like the opening salvo in the series of psalms that we're going to be looking at, Psalms of Moses. And very importantly, in fact, let's just turn back there real quick because it's important. Because this is where we have to picture ourselves. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is the important verse. This is a key that we use as we look into the scriptures. We see these little, how should we say, these little sayings, and sometimes they just roll off the tongue. They're nice. They feel good to, but we don't really comprehend exactly what they're saying. You see, this giving us instruction of where we need to dwell. We dwell in the Lord. We keep our hearts and our minds focused on Him. When we wake up in the morning, He is what we think about. Through our day, Lord, how do I handle this situation? Somebody is upset about something and they're coming against me. It may not even be me. How do I deal with this? How do I deal with somebody that's unruly? Or, you know, what's the situation that I'm finding myself in? How do I get out? If we are dwelling in the secret place. Now, what is the secret place? It is in His face. That's where the secret place is, in His face. And we are constantly desiring to seek His face, to see His face. The Word says to seek His face, and our response is, your face, O Lord, I'm going to seek. You said that this is what you that I'm supposed to do. This is what I need to do. And so if He is the only thing in your life, if He is the major thing in your life, it's not enough. There has to be a 100% commitment, and that's the only way that we're going to dwell. Now, one of the catchphrases that I like in here, it says, shall abide. Remember, I mean, that should spark something in your mind, what the Lord says. When Jesus says, hey, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will be my disciples. Abide, that's what it is. You have to abide, and that means be saturated in. Getting all of your nourishment from the Word, from the Lord. So armed with that information, then we can now continue on. I thought that was really something that we really need to cling to, because as we go through these next psalms, you know, it's going to be, you know, the why is the reason for all of this happiness? You know, and we look and we see in Psalm 95, he says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And I tell you, as I've been studying these things, these really have been coming to fruition where the Lord wants us to be happy. And if we're dwelling with Him, we're going to have His mindset. We're going to say, man, the things that I'm facing in this life, and it's really helped me in my situations wherever I'm going. Like at work, if I get somebody that's disgruntled or, you know, just somebody that's, have you ever met somebody that's just sour, you know? It doesn't matter what you do. I mean, they're just sour. And there's, You can't cheer them up. They just don't want to respond to anything. And it just, what does it do? It brings you down. And as we sing unto the Lord lifts us up. As we say, oh, your mercy and your goodness and all of the things that are beneficial to me, they give me peace because I know, like we sang, He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. It doesn't matter. You know, if I fall, if I stumble, He's not going to leave me. He's not going to, oh, I've had it with you. You've blown it for the last time. You know, 491 times, that's it. No more. I'm tired of you. He's not going to do that. He's going to continue with us. He's going to continue rebuking. He's going to continue encouraging. He's going to continue to fill us with His Spirit and His peace. And that's why we sing praises to Him. Look at the world around us today. Oh my goodness. It's like they just took idiot pills. Or the world's gone mad. You know, I mean, I don't even want to get into it. I don't want to bring it down. Because we're here to sing a joyful noise unto the Lord. He gives us peace throughout all of these things. Aren't you concerned of what's going on over in the Middle East? Yeah. Does it bother you? No, not at all. Because I know the Lord's got it in His... I've read the back of the book. I know who wins. I know all of these things must come to pass. Kingdom shall rise against kingdom and nation against nation. The Lord said that these things are going to be happening. He says, but don't worry, the end is not yet. Really? So all of the things that we're witnessing today is a fulfillment of what the Lord said was going to happen. So what does that do? It fills us with peace. He's got it under control. He already knows what's going to happen. We trust in Him. He gives us peace. If we start to say, we start to look around and say, we start listening to these talking heads on the TV, then we're going to start to get antsy. We're going to start to get discomfited here, and we're going to be filled with fear. And fear is the opposite of faith. If we have faith in the Lord, He gives us peace. If we have fear, we're going to have anxiety. We're going to have a turmoil in our hearts. So we come before His presence with thanksgiving and make joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Now, it's not with just these songs, but the songs that the Lord gives us, the new songs that He gives us. You know, I mean, the artists today, they're making up new songs. The Lord's giving them new songs to what? To praise Him with. To bring others into the Lord's presence. And that's what really worship is all about. It's bringing people into the presence of the Lord by showing them the way. Moses showed the people the way. He went up on the mount. The people were afraid. He said, oh, don't let the... We hear the voice and we're afraid of the voice. You speak to us, Moses. And Moses did speak, but they didn't listen. They heard the sound of the voice, but they were afraid. They didn't know the speaker. We know the speaker. And as worship leaders, they bring the people to the Lord. The people follow you. That's what leaders do. Leaders go in a direction and people follow. The shepherd will go on and he'll have a bell maybe on his staff or his crook or whatever. And he's walking along. He hits it on the ground and that bell makes a noise and the sheep start to follow. Or he'll call to the sheep and the sheep will hear his voice and they'll come out. He's a leader and they are following. And now, as believers, we worship the Lord. Is anybody following? If there's nobody else following, then guess what? You're not leading anyone. Now, you may be working in a secular environment. And if nobody's following you, that's fine. The problem is that when we see nobody following, we get discouraged. We get dejected. We start to say, well, what good is my witness? Nobody's responding. I want to point you, if you're feeling that way today, I want you to point you to Jeremiah. And I want you to look at the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah's call was this. I'm going to give you my words to speak. And I want you to speak them. I want you to speak them just as I give them to you. And I don't want you to be afraid of their faces. They're going to look at you. They're going to scowl at you. They're going to plot against you. They're going to try to hurt you. They're going to put you in jail. I don't want you to be afraid. I'm with you, and I'm going to give you the words. However, they're not going to listen. You're going to have zero converts. How's that for a call to the ministry? Huh? But you have to be faithful, you see, to do what it is that you're supposed to do, regardless of what anybody else is doing. Now, the biggest downfall in Christianity is listening to other people. That's the biggest downfall. listening to other people or looking at other people and saying, look at that situation. Man, I don't want any part of that. Or look at this person over here. You know, what are they promoting over here? Your relationship is between you and God alone. Not you and somebody else. It's between you and God. And you read the Word and you believe what the Spirit puts on your heart to believe. It doesn't matter what the commentaries say. It doesn't matter what anybody else says, your pastor, your deacon, your elders, or anybody else. You look at the Word of God and you allow the Spirit of God to teach you from the Word of God. And this is how we know that we're being taught correct doctrine. Because when you're studying the Word and it aligns with the what I teach, and if the Spirit shows you something different, it's your duty to show me, well, let's talk about this. Let's go through the Scriptures and make sure that we're getting correct doctrine here. I mean, I don't want you just to, okay, you're coming in, you're hearing a message, and then go home. And that's it. That's the end of it. That's not what it's supposed to do. The Word of God is supposed to have its effect. You're supposed to see fruit from that. And as you go through and you, man, that was a nice expository there. And I'm going to look in there. I'm going to get deeper in there. And then you come back and you said, man, as I got in deeper, man, the Lord showed me this. And he opened up this vista in this verse here. And I need to share that with you. So that's what the Word of God does. And I say, Ben, if you're doing that, come and tell me. I want to hear about it. I want to hear what the Lord's doing in your life. You know, I sit up here and I read and I share what the Lord's shown me, but what's he showing you? And this is the perfect place to be able to do it. This is the safe place. This is a place where, man, I was reading the Word, and the Lord showed me this. And we can go through and we can build on that. We can have Scriptures to back that up. Yeah, he'll show you this and this, and then we're going to go over here. And I try to get a good smattering of the entire Bible in the Bible studies. I know it's not going to get everything, and then there's some hobby horses that I do go on. I like to pick on Moses and the wilderness wanderings because the Scriptures do that. And I like to pick on the disciples, you know, before their conversion, before the Holy Spirit was poured out, and making the contrast and things like that. But there are so much more. You know, there's so much more in there that we can glean from it. And I'm only one person. You know, you can get in and get into places and get into nooks and crannies that I couldn't possibly get into. So, man, share it with me. Let me know what's going on. So let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. How do we do that? How do we come before his presence all the time? We're stuck here on this earth. If we open up our hearts and we say, Lord, I want you to be with me today. I want you to be permeating my thoughts all the day long. I want you to influence my decisions. I want the Word that I've been studying and reading and not understanding, I want your Holy Spirit to just illuminate it for me. I want to walk in your ways. And that's when he's going to start illuminating. And then we're going to say, oh, thank you, Lord. You are real. You are working in my life. I am changing. This is the things that the Lord wants to do for you to let you know that he is real. You know, a lot of times, you know, what I like to do is like we like to piggyback on our or ride our parents' coattails, you know. We brought our kids to church, you know, and they heard the Word over and over again, whether they wanted to or not. You know, we brought them in there, and then they get to pick up the jargon after a while. You know, you hear it enough times, you're going to pick it up. And the attitudes and the way that you're supposed to act, it's going to be almost mechanical. When you go to church, you put on the smile. Nothing's ever wrong. You see, it's mechanical Christian, you know. As soon as you get out, then the weight of the world comes back on you. But see, that's riding somebody else's coattails. You're riding on somebody else's experience. When you have your own experiences, you see, you're going to make a joyful noise. You're going to see the salvation of the Lord. You're going to desire the presence of God. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Now, don't let that little G and that gods fool you. He's talking about men. And we set men up as gods, don't we? We put people on pedestals. We have a show that's called American Idol. I mean, it doesn't get any more blatant than that. You know, these are people that we look up to and worship and, you know, and all of these things. And that's what it is. But our God is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is also his. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. What a glorious analogy. You know, we're the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. You know, I mean, sheep are stupid. They're dumb, and they go astray. If the shepherd's not there constantly calling to them and having them turn around, they'll walk right off a cliff. They're dumb sheep. We are dumb sheep. We'll follow anything. Ooh, there's something shiny over there. You know, oh, a squirrel. You know, let's go chase that. And that's just the way that we are. We're built that way. But I think we're built that way so that the Lord can show forth his great mercy and his loving kindness toward his people. Because we are prone to wander. And he's prone to go get us. He's prone to leave the 99 that are safe and go after that one that's gone astray. And how often do we go astray? All the time. If we haven't got our minds wrapped around who God is, he's the one that made the earth. It's his. And the hills and the sea and all of the things that are in it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to the Lord. He is the king of the earth. He's the king of the universe. And there's nothing that he doesn't own. He owns you, but he allows you, as his children, to partake of his nature, to partake, to have a glimpse of what it is that he's doing. You see, the people that are not believers, they have no idea how this is going to turn out. And that's what fills them with fear. Man, how is this going to end? Am I going to die? What about my wife and kids and everybody else, the people that I know and love? What's going to happen to them? We already know what's going to happen. And that fills us with peace. Because we know, hey, the Lord's got it. It's his. He's going to come back and he's going to judge the earth in righteousness. And where are we going to be? We're going to be with him for eternity. That should fill you with peace. If nothing else, it should just make, man, lift up your hands and praise the Lord because of all the things that he's going to do. Now, it doesn't come without a warning. Okay? Now, these are the things that we do by nature because we know God. But it says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. Now, what work is he talking about here? He's talking about the things that happened in Egypt. And this is why I like to go back there, because the Psalms always go back to Egypt. They always go back to how the Lord pulled his people, his sheep, from Egypt and led them into the area Kadesh Barnea, getting ready to go into the promised land. This is the land that I promised you, the land of milk and honey. Remember that? I mean, just don't harden your heart during this time. Remember, the Jews were fighting against Moses from leaving. Remember when he went into Pharaoh the first time? He said, oh, they were all glad. Well, you're going to lead us into a promised land. That's great. You're going to get us out of slavery. That's great. You see, that was the draw. That was the first thing that Moses said. We're going to get you out of Egypt. We're going to release your bondage. Make your work less. Okay? You're not going to have this rigor and hard bondage anymore. I'm going to lead you out, and we're going to go into the land that the Lord had promised. When he went into Pharaoh, it says, let my people go. What did he do? He doubled the work. He says, okay, you're going to make, since you're so idle, you're going to make brick without straw. And you're going to have to go and glean your own straw at night. So they were upset with Moses. And after that, you didn't hear what the people had to say about it. You know, it was just plague after plague after plague. It was a dialogue between Moses and Pharaoh. There was a dialogue, two plagues, and then Moses came back into Pharaoh. Let my people go. 10 times that happened. So they get to the promised land, and what does Moses do? He sends in 12 spies. Go search out the land. He's expecting those guys to come back with a great report and saying, hey, this is going to fill the people with confidence, as if all of the plagues that didn't touch them wasn't enough. The Red Sea opening up and letting them pass by and then drowning the Egyptian army. Having this pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day to lead them where they were going to go, as if that wasn't enough. Now these spies are going to come back, and 10 of them came back with a bad report, an evil report, and the people believed it. You see, instead of believing what God said, they believed what people said, and that's what we do too. We read what God says, and we believe it until somebody else comes by and says something contrary, Oh, you can't believe the Bible. The Bible, yeah, that was a bunch of stories. Who wrote the Bible anyway? And all of these arguments start to come up about, you know, the origin of the Bible. Who wrote the Bible? Da, 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 da. It means absolutely nothing. What means something is what the Holy Spirit brings forth out of the Word to change your life. You see, the witness is this, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And as you're reading the Word and as you're a believer, what the witness is that Jesus Christ lives in me. I'm not the same person that I was before. I'm a new creature now. I'm different. Oh, I'm not perfect by any means, but I'm different. And the Holy Spirit makes this alive. You see, the natural man doesn't see it that way. They're looking for every reason in the world to discount it and get it out. Oh, man, get it out of here. It's just a fairy tale. It's a bunch of stories. You believe that? You believe that the earth was covered by a flood? Really? People are going to try to dissuade you from being a believer. They're going to try to hit you in the core, and that is your source of information, your source of comfort, your source of instruction from the Lord. And they're going to say, this isn't real. Now, you can believe them or you can believe the Lord. I choose the Lord. I choose to believe the Lord. And so in verse 10, he says, for 40 years long I was grieved with this generation. And I said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Folks, if you're listening to people, you will not enter into the Lord's rest. And that is the peace that comes from the Lord, knowing that He's got everything under control. He had everything under control. Remember, Joshua and Caleb came back and says, hey man, there are giants in the land, but they're bread for us. Let's go eat them. Let's go eat them up. And the other guys, oh no, they're too big. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And they made the people afraid. The false witnesses came out. Instead of aligning themselves with what God says, they said, no, we believe you guys. You guys mean more to us than God. And that's exactly what's going on here. You will not have the peace or the rest of God unless you believe the Word of God. The Word of God is what strengthens your heart. It's what tells you about Jesus Christ and the plan of God. If you don't believe it, if you're listening to other people, well, this part of the Bible is good. Right? Stay in the New Testament. Don't go in the Old Testament because that was then. He was the God of anger and wrath and stuff like that. But Jesus, He's the God of love. He's the Prince of Peace. It's the same God, folks. There's no difference. And to try to dissect and pick and choose what you're going to believe and what you're not going to believe, it's not going to work. You're not going to have that peace because you're going to find something in the Old Testament or the New Testament, and you're going to say, well, wait a minute. I read that in the Old Testament once. And then you're going to venture in there, and you're going to find out that everything that Jesus did was fulfilled from the Old Testament, just like some of the things that we saw. You know, love your enemies. Pray for those that persecute you. That's not a New Testament theology. That's Old Testament. It's the same God. But the rest is the key. The peace that passes all understanding. In situations that would, you know, make even the bravest of men turn and run. So unless we have that walking and working relationship with the Lord, none of these things are going to be able to give us comfort. In 96 it says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. And I'm so glad it starts off like that, because that's the way we really need to start our day. You know? I mean, we just sing out to the Lord, just praising His name. You know, I mean, let me just get a sense here for a second. When you go into work and it's the first work day of the week, and we call it Monday. Now, what kind of sound do you make when you think about Monday? Oh, that's what you get. You go into work, I got a whole long week ahead of me. Does that sound like joy? Does it sound like laughter? Who do you work for? Do you work for the boss? Or do you work for Jesus Christ? Lord, you've given me this job. Oh, can you imagine going into work saying, Praise God, it's Monday. We get a whole week that we get to show forth the love and the goodness of the Lord. Anybody with me? Can I get an amen from anybody? Roll up and die, will you? Just go to heaven. Leave me alone. We should be carrying off a different attitude. We should be leading the way. We should be, when people look at us and when they see us coming, man, they should see a smile on our face. They should be seeing, hey, man, there's something about this person. He's crazy. He's always smiling. What is that? Why are you always smiling? Why are you always joyful? Man, because the Lord gave me this job. I'm able to supply, you know, what's necessary for my family through this job, so I'm grateful for it. So I'm going to do the best job that I can possibly do. I'm not going to be dissuaded by people that don't do anything. The people that hang out at the water cooler and just yap all day when people are in need of their services. You know, that's why we're here. We're servants, and we're supposed to be servants to our master. Just like Joseph. Joseph was a slave, but he did the best job that he could do, and the boss saw it, and he made him put him in charge of everything, all of his household. Man, Potiphar said, man, this guy's, I don't know what's driving this guy, but he's a workhorse. And he does everything excellently, and I trust him. Can your boss say that about you? I know that I could leave a dollar bill on the table, and it'll still be there on the way back. I can leave a stack of $100 bills sitting on the table, and I know they'll all be there because I can trust that person. That's the kind of integrity that we want to take away. That's the kind of impression that we want. And that is the witness of Jesus Christ, that we're not tempted by mere physicality. We've got riches in heaven. This doesn't tempt us. You know, money and all of the things that the world go after, that doesn't tempt us, because we have treasures in heaven. And we're not going to be able to even fathom the treasures that we have going forward. Declare his glory among the heathen. And that's exactly what you're doing by doing the best job available. Going the extra 2 miles. When Jesus says, hey, when the soldier comes and says, hey, carry my burden for a mile, go with him twain. Do over and above what the person there is asking you. Job description. Don't ever let it be said. Never let the words come out of your mouth saying, that's not my job. Ever. Of course it's your job. That's why it's before you. The Lord wants you to do it. Oh, that's, you know, the guy spilled coffee on the ground. Yeah, we have people for that. You know? I mean, I ran into that situation today. And I failed miserably. Okay, I was walking down the stairs, and there was a spoon laying on the floor. Somebody had dropped a spoon from the cafeteria. I was going to lunch. I could have picked that spoon up and put it in the trash, but I left it there. I didn't say that we have people for that, but there it was. And I saw it, and I registered it in my mind, and I just went on my merry way. Coming back from lunch, the same spoon was there, and I just went on my merry way. It wasn't until I got halfway down the hallway that the Lord spoke to me. Why didn't you pick up that spoon? Why did you leave it sit there? Maybe somebody will step on it. Maybe they'll get hurt. Maybe they'll twist their ankle on it. Why didn't you just do it? Why didn't you just pick it up? You saw that needed to be done. That's why you're here, is to do those things that the Lord would have you to do. You see, we work for the Lord. That's why the Lord has us where we are, no matter what it is. So, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, reverenced, respected. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord, he made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Is this the kind of thing that we're promoting to the people around us? Do the people see that we reverence and honor God in such a way that we respect him in that respect? And not to be redundant, but give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The Lord says, be ye holy as I am holy. There is beauty in holiness, according to the Lord. This is what the Lord wants to see in us. He wants to see the fruit of the Spirit. He likes to see those kind of things. And the beauty of holiness, we come before him. I mean, this verse here is just I mean, we could spend months on this. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Do we even know what that means? I dare say, no, we don't, because we don't do it. Get into this. I mean, just highlight it, write it down or whatever, and make it a priority to check this out and just dig deeper. Have the Holy Spirit reveal to you, how do I do this? How do I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness? Do we even know what holiness is? Lord, show me what the holiness is. I know your word is holy and that everything that touches the altar is holy. What does it mean? What does that mean? Is it singleness of purpose? That, man, I am solely the Lord's. I am not doing anything for selfish gain, but I'm doing all to promote Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Like Paul, man, I do all things. You know, I go through and I work harder than anybody else. And I am solely sold out for Jesus Christ. Since he saved me on the road to Damascus, man, I have been working totally for him and nothing for myself. Everything that I've received comes from the hand of the Lord, whether it's bounty or whether it's dearth. He's given it to me. Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now the offering is ourselves. This is the only thing that we can really bring. Dying to ourselves, laying ourselves down on the altar, and being that living sacrifice. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. And this is our testimony. When they see that we're not shaken by the things that are coming upon the earth, that we're not moved by these things, that we have peace, man, they're going to say, either you don't understand or you know something that we don't. What is it that you know that we don't? The Lord reigns. The Lord's got everything under control. Hey, who is this Lord? It was the same thing as a thief on the cross, you know, that was next to Jesus. He says, Lord, remember me. You know, I'm a sinner. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He says, this day you will be with me in paradise. What did this guy have to do? I mean, he didn't do anything other than that. And yet, he's been a testimony to every person on death row since that time. He's a testimony that there is no, as long as you have life, there is hope for salvation. Okay, until the time when you draw your last breath, there is hope for salvation. And that's what we need to pray for people about. That they get into that such a desperate situation that they have no place else to go except to the Lord. And we need to give them enough ammunition to be able to know who the Lord is. And so we say to the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. That's neat. That's neat. Because we don't see any righteous judgment in this world. That's a fact. Righteous judgment is knowing the thoughts and the intents of all parties concerned. You know, people lie. They cover things up. We can't possibly know what was going on in the hearts of people when they did particular crimes. You know? So how can we have actual judgment or justice? Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful in all that is therein. Then all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. How glorious it is when you're in the mountains in Colorado, you know, and you just look up there, and man, you've got the love and the joy of the Lord, and you just look up on his creation, and all creation is worshiping and praising the Lord with you. You just feel that. Man, look at the trees. They're lifting up their branches to give praise to the God. The mountains, the earth is just reaching up to give praise to the Lord. And this is the mindset you got. You look at creation. It says, man, all of creation. And you go to the Pacific Ocean, and you see the waves roaring, and you see them beating up against the rock in Capo there. And man, it's just beautiful. And you can just hear the ocean roaring praises unto God because you're in that frame of mind. The whole earth is just giving praise and worship unto the Lord. And it's just kind of, oh yeah, this is what it's going to be like to be with the Lord. All things are in unison with the Lord. This must have been what it was like in Eden. where the whole creation, before sin corrupted everything, everything was in unison. Everything was just one in worshiping the Lord. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. You see, there's a rejoicing that the earth does. And I believe when believers are in tune with that, they can see the actual earth wanting to rejoice. I mean, the earth isn't just a dead thing. The earth lives and breathes because the Lord is in it. The Lord doesn't create it. I mean, we look at rocks and we say, well, there's no life in that rock. But the Lord says that inside that rock is water. I'm going to split open this rock and I'm going to let the waters gush out. He did that in the wilderness. The people were thirsty. And what did he tell Moses to do? Speak to the rock and water will gush out of it. So he went up there and he smote the rock. He was the thing is irrelevant, but the water gushed out because of the mercy of the Lord. Moses messed up, but that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is that the Lord makes life come out of everywhere. The water springs up out of the ground to give life. The life is, it's life-giving water. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of the isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. And we look at that and we say, wait a minute, clouds and darkness. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound like the Lord. The Lord's a brilliant light. He's a consuming fire. What's the clouds about? The clouds are his mercy. The clouds is what shields us from his glory, so that we're not consumed. This is God's mercy. That's what the clouds and the darkness are for, the thick darkness. Because God is just so awesome that he's got to have thick darkness so that we don't be consumed in these present forms. And so that we can be in his presence and not be consumed. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord, the whole earth. Of the whole earth, I'm sorry. So when he came down on Sinai, that's what the people saw. They saw this fire come down and the earthquakes. And we could see the rocks just melting before the Lord. The heavens declare his righteousness. And all the people see his glory. Righteousness being the key here, you see. This is what the earth sees in us, God's righteousness, the righteousness of Christ that dwells within us. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Now we can see evidences of that today. You can see people that worship idols. What is going on in their heads? What are the things are they doing? What kind of craziness? And you can look, you know, all around the earth. You know, they're, you know, I don't even want to talk about it. It's just so antithesis of the joy that I'm finding in these scriptures here. But you see what, you know, other folks, they worship these gods and their confusion. Kill the babies, save the whales. You know, let's chain ourselves to a tree so they don't cut this down. But yeah. You know, let's kill these children before they're born. What kind of a mindset? See, that's confusion. They don't have their mind right. Zion heard and was glad. Zion being one of the mountains in Jerusalem, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. Not the evildoers hate evil. And hate it so much that you are abhorred to do it. You know, we look at movies and things like that you know, it promotes hate. It promotes murder. It promotes death. It promotes promiscuity, all manner of things, and yet this is our entertainment. This is what we're acquiescing. Oh yeah, this is okay. This is good. If we're watching that kind of stuff, we're saying, yeah, this is good. This is good stuff. You know, I cringe at some of the things that the guys at work talk about. Oh, we were looking at this movie. Oh, it was so cool. Man, that's vile. How can you watch that stuff? No wonder you are like you are. This is what you're ingesting. You're not ingesting the Word of God. You're ingesting the things of the world. And it's what's having an effect on you. You're saying that this is okay. This is good stuff. In fact, I like to watch it. And it reminds me of Romans when it talks about, you know, There are those that do the things, and there are those that take pleasure in them that do. These guys, they're on the screen, they're doing these things, and we're sitting back and enjoying it. Enjoying, we're not doing it, but we're enjoying other people as they do it. You know, I used to think of the soap operas and things like that. You know, Cindy and I talked about this years and years ago. She's like, you mean they're having these affairs and they're, you know, adultery and fornication and drug abuse and rape, murder, and all of these things, and this is your entertainment? We watch these things all the time? And it was just like, man, yeah, you're going to become like the gods you worship. No doubt about it. If these are the things that you think are okay, this is what you're going to become. But if you're the Lord's, then the Word of God and the things of God are going to be the things that you that you're going to desire. And it says here specifically, ye that love the Lord. Not ye that don't love the Lord or don't care anything about the Lord or not believers in the Lord. We cannot put our rules and regulations on other people that do not believe. It's unfair. We can't keep the law. Why would we put it on other people to do, you see? We're not doing it. This is what a hypocrite's all about, saying that you have to do this when you're not doing it yourself. Jesus said, ye hypocrites. You tell the people that this is the law. You place these burdens on people, and you don't even lift them up with your little finger. That's what he's talking about here. You're putting the people that have no capacity to do these things to do them, and you're not doing them yourself. That's a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. It says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. That in itself is enough. Okay, if we could just hate evil, if we could just dissect the evil that men do, from the men, you see? Men are prone to do that. We're all prone to do that, okay? But the Lord doesn't cut us off. He doesn't just throw us away. He gives us opportunity to repent. Every person on the planet, he says, I don't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And so they have to know the love and the goodness of God. Even those that are vile, the people that we really don't even want to talk to because they're so heinous and vile, the things that they've done. He preserveth the souls of his saints. When were you delivered? When were you saved? I know there are a lot of people that have, well, I was saved. I was at a Billy Graham crusade, and it was August 20th, and it's 1975, and I remember running down the field there and just giving my life to the Lord. That's not when you were saved. You were saved from the foundation of the earth. This was just the day that you realized you were saved. What about that person that's vile and doing all these heinous things that are murdering and raping people? Huh? These guys, they may not come to know Christ until they get to prison, until they're ready to get the needle stuck in their arm. But they're still saved. The Lord still called them. They just have to go through this path to get there. You see? The Lord will save a man, a woman, at the point of death if he has called them. That's the mercy and the love of God. That's the God we serve. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. You remember those guys that were lined up on the beach and had their heads cut off? Those guys got delivered. They got delivered that day. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How they got tossed into the furnace? They got delivered that day. And you know what the difference is there? One still had a testimony here on the earth. The others are with the Lord. Okay? He delivered them. Lord, deliver us from the... Okay, I'm going to bring you home. Is that good? That's great, Lord. That's great. He delivered them. He delivers us. At the point of our death, we're delivered from this earth, and we get to be with the Lord. That which we've desired the most, the Lord has delivered us from this place and taken us to where he is. That's deliverance, my friends. That's deliverance. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Yeah. You see, light is for the righteous, not for the evil. They don't see the light. They can't see the light. So when they say, it's Monday, oh God, another week, you can say, man, that's the light that you have. You have darkness for light. You have no hope. I have hope. I'm here for a purpose. I have a reason. There's a reason why I'm here, and that is to shine light into the darkness. So shine that light. Let your light so shine before men, so that when men see that light, they can give glory unto God. When they see your good works, man, this guy's going over and above what he's been asked to do. Gosh, man, that's light. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness shall he openly show in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of the psalm, with trumpets and the sound of the cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. The judgment is going to be equal across the board. He's coming in righteousness. He's coming to judge the earth. This is what we've longed for. We see the injustice and it grieves our heart, but we know that the Lord's going to come back and nothing, absolutely nothing is going to escape his attention. Every little minute detail, the thoughts and the intents of people's hearts are going to be brought to bear, and we're going to be able to know all of the things that have happened on this earth. He's going to bring them out. Nothing is going to be left in darkness. Everything that has been done, every thought on the mind of men is going to be brought out into the light, and we'll understand then all of the things that have happened. All of the mysteries that, oh man, who shot Kennedy? I mean, we'll know that because he's going to bring all of those things out. He's going to bring out all of the circumstances, maybe ad nauseum. We might even get tired of it after a while, but I don't think so. Because when truth is shared, man, it's just going to be, and this, and this, and this, because, and this is, I think, the reason why we're going to know all of these things, because when Satan is brought forth and laid before there, they're going to look, they're going to say, they narrowly looked upon the, is this the man? They're going to finally bring out the person that was responsible for all of the things that had happened, from the time of the end all the way to the beginning, and they're going to look at him and say, is this the man that did shake kingdoms? Is this the man, this person here? He's the one responsible? And then he's going to get tossed into the lake of fire along with the false prophet and the beast. And they're going to burn for eternity. But first of all, we're going to see, this is going to be the person that was responsible for all of this? Oh, he shook kingdoms and he made nations to crumble, to tremble? Oh, man, this is the person. And can you imagine, you know how you feel when you get found out? You know, who ate the cookies? Not me. You know, when you're found out, you know, your mom's looking at you. All right, did you eat the cookies? You got chocolate chip stains all over your hands, this all over your mouth. And did you eat the cookies? Nope. But you know you had. You know you're found out. This is going to be a million times worse. A million times worse. The Lord reigneth. Chapter 99, Psalm 99. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. So this is the Shekinah glory that was in the temple. We're back into the temple now, that model of heaven. Okay? There it is, the Shekinah glory over the mercy seat. As he looked down upon the broken law, every year the high priest would come in and sprinkle the blood, and he was appeased. And it was great. And this is where the Lord sitteth. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. And that word terrible there is not a bad thing. It's an awesome thing. You're an awesome name. I mean, that's probably the strongest word that I can use in there. Thy great and awesome name. For it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. And where is his footstool, folks? The earth. Remember? The earth is his footstool. The heavens are his throne. The earth is his footstool. We worship at his footstool. We sit and we listen to the King of the universe give us instruction via his word and his Holy Spirit. And we worship there, just like Mary sat at his feet and listened to his word. Let us be Marys to sit there and listen at his feet. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answeredest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Now, this had to do with Moses. When Moses was on the mount and he delayed coming down, and the people kind of clamored to Aaron and says, Aaron, make us a god. Remember, you know, as Aaron's describing this in chapter 32 of Exodus, Aaron's describing, you know, they gave me all of their earrings of gold. I threw them in the fire and this calf jumped out. You know, I mean, it's like, yeah, right. Okay, we got that, Aaron. Yeah, you made the calf. You were doing all of these things. You had the people doing all of these ceremonies. 3,000 people died, folks, as a cause for that. But the Lord still forgave them on that. 3,000 people died because of what Aaron did. He made this golden calf, and he gave them instructions on how to worship. And he made them naked, and they played, and they ate, and they rose up to play. And they were involved in all manner of sexual immorality. And then the priests of the Lord came in and killed them all of those that were playing in this. And it was because of Aaron. And the Lord judged the act, but he forgave them. And it turned out that, you know, is there any sin that we could commit that the Lord will not forgive? No. It's all been paid for. It's all been taken care of. He delights in showing mercy. I mean, that's our God. He is ecstatic. Oh, please, please. Confess your sin so that I can forgive you. I want to forgive you. I want to get you back into fellowship. I want to wrap my arms around you and give you the peace and the love and the mercies that you need and the strength to go on, to put this behind you, to remember it, but remember that, hey, I love you. And to love one is to say, you know what, I'm not going to do anything that's going to jeopardize that relationship. I don't want to, and that's what I mean to hate sin. You know, I don't want to offend my God, so I'm not going to indulge myself in that which he says is wrong. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Oh, a lot of times, you know, in larger churches, you know, we've been in some bigger churches, and some things that the bigger churches like to do is that when new believers come in, they like to get them plugged in. That's what they call it. That's a buzzword, you know, plug them in, you know, get them involved in ministry, children's ministry, mostly. We need people in child care. We need people in the nursery. We need people to watch the kids, you know, so we plug them in there. And there's no joy after a while. If you're not called to be in that particular area, then stay out of the area. You can serve the Lord in other ways. And I sorry to say, you know, the larger the church is, the more need there is for workers to make it run. And that's where a lot of times it falls apart. People get burned out because, well, there's just not enough volunteers. And so the same people are doing the same things over and over again. And they're not coming to serve the Lord with laughter. They're not serving with thanksgiving or joy. They're serving grudgingly. And what is that? You know, I mean, you see what it is. You know, I mean, you ever watch your boss's face when somebody comes in that's a complainer? Oh, man, I hate being here. I'd rather be anywhere else. Okay, well, you're fired. Go somewhere else. Be yourself elsewhere. Okay? Because doesn't that stuff bring you down? Somebody with a bad attitude? Do you want those kind of people in with your kids? No. But serve the Lord with gladness. Now, if the Lord's called you into a ministry, you're going to be, he's going to give you the attitude that you need to serve him with, gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Again, telling us who we are. We are his. We didn't make ourselves, as you know, as the atheist would like to tell you. Yeah, we sprang up out of primordial ooze and we developed limbs and arms and, you know, now here we are with a sense of purpose. And really? That doesn't even make any sense. But we are the Lord's. And not only are we the Lord's, but we are the sheep. And I just love when the Lord says, you know, unless you receive the kingdom of God as little children, not big children, not children of understanding, little children, toddlers, babes, unless you receive the kingdom as a little child, you'll never see it. You can't enter in because you have to be totally dependent upon the Lord. Nothing that you can do is going to help you. All of your training, all of your college, it's worthless in the kingdom of God. He supplies all of the need. And that's what Paul said. I do all of these things because he has supplied me. I brought nothing to the table. I was a murderer. I was a liar. I was a cheat. I threw people in prison. I destroyed families. I destroyed lives. I killed people. Put people to death because they called upon the name of Jesus. What do you think that I'm feeling every time I go out? Man, it's not that I'm making it up. Or trying to make up for it. It's, man, I worked more diligently than any because I had this over my head. I wasn't going to allow the world to get back into me because I could see what happens when you become a Pharisee, when you have your own reason, when you're trying to work out your own salvation in your own head without the Lord. I know what happens then, and I stay well away from it. I choose to know nothing save the cross of Christ. That's all I know, is Jesus Christ crucified. That was his testimony. Okay, I am bringing nothing to the table. I'm just presenting to you Jesus Christ. He's risen from the dead, and he lives in me. And all that I do is because of him. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. It's not going to end with our generation. You know, I hear people talk about, well, the generation that saw the Jesus movement, they're getting old and they're dying away, and it's not going to be the same anymore. No, God's going to do a new work. He's going to raise up other people, and they're going to carry the mantle on to the next generation, and to the next generation, and to the next generation. And we've seen it happen, and we know it's going to continue. It's the Lord's program, not ours. We don't have to, fight to make sure that everything stays well in Congress. Make sure that the laws stay the same. No, it doesn't matter. This country may not even exist for the next generation. It may be a whole new economy, folks. I've got news for you. I've read the back of the book, and the book says that the earth is going to be ruled by 10 kings in the end times. 10 kings. And guess what? The USA is not even mentioned. Not anywhere in Scripture. So this country that we had enjoyed, may not even exist in 10 or 15 years. I'm not making a prediction. I'm just saying that, man, my grandkids, my kids and my grandkids may not even recognize the world as it will be then, as of what it is now. And maybe that's a good thing. I'm counting on it being a better thing, because when things get too corrupt, like the Roman Empire got too corrupted for itself, it fell and crashed into 1,000 pieces. When the Greek Empire got up and got so corrupted that it fell. Persia fell. Babylon fell because it got too corrupted. And that's just the way of it. Every generation will rise up, and the Spirit of God will move on the hearts of men and women, and a new revival will happen. A new Jesus movement will, even greater than the one we saw in the 60s. It'll be even greater. I look forward to it. I hope maybe I'm around to see it. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope that you put into our hearts. We thank you for the joy of knowing you, that we can go through our days with this light in our hearts. Father, I pray that we would just be able to share this light with others, the people in our workplace, the people that we run into in the stores, wherever. I pray, Father, that you would show yourself strong in our lives, so other people would bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.